Well, like all moms, you know, we show up with like our bag of tricks. And in order to like make myself feel better this morning, I have like all my things here. I was showing somebody, this is my like down to the very basics. Mom brain, you get so much stuff up here, you can't think. So I have like my regular notes. And then I have my sticky notes that I'm like, you know what? Bottom line, I'll just rip them off as I go. So if you see me kind of shuffling around, that's what I'm doing. But I am so happy to be here. Like Carrie said, I was here for 10 years and showing up just like you guys. And I couldn't help but think as you guys came in for breakfast and stuff this morning, I was remembering back to when I was in the season of just showing up here for the very, very first time. And truth be told, the primary motivator for me was a hot breakfast. So I am so happy to see that you guys are still getting to eat breakfast when you show up, because when you have really, really little kids, it's like rare you get to eat your food when it's actually hot. Show of hands. Who likes hot breakfast still? It's still here. And there are some days, I don't know about you guys, but you're like, am I even going to make it there? Like, can I do this? Am I going to shower or not shower? Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get there? So it was just really sweet to watch you guys come in and just remember all that this place was for me. And I don't take that for granted. In fact, I figured I would share with y'all this morning how vulnerable, honestly, it is to come and sit in this chair. Because, yes, I have some information, but that doesn't mean that I do it perfectly, okay? So if I could just, like, start by saying that, like, I'm going to give you guys some tools, but these are the tools that I am literally using all day, every day. That there is no arrival when it comes to calming the chaos. Okay, we don't ever arrive there. It is like an ongoing thing. Whatever season you're in, you're finding what calm looks like in that season. And let's be honest, we can try to control and make everything on the outside calm, and we will fail. Because inevitably, I don't know how it was for you this morning. I'm gonna ask you some questions in a minute. But, you know, my dog hopped in the car this morning to help take the kids to school. And when he got out, he kicked a glass mug that happened to be in my back seat out and shattered it all over our driveway. That's outside of my control. And that is definitely not calm, especially on a morning where you're like, I'm going to go share about calm with some friends. And I was like, oh, gosh, you know, broken mug. And then I just giggled because I'm like, isn't that life? Like, my brother's graduation, this was a long time ago, but my oldest was a baby, and we were trying to go to his college graduation, and it was, like, such an effort to, like, drive 3 hours with a baby, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to stop and feed the baby, and then they're going to scream because their food hasn't digested. Like, should I even go? Oh, man. So we made the 3-hour drive, and we got there, and I was so excited. And then it was time for the graduation to start, and my daughter pooped the biggest poop out of her diaper, all over her and all over my white pants. But, you know, that was a mistake. So you remember the mustard poop? So I had mustard poop, like, all over my pants. And then she started throwing up. And so I didn't get to see my brother graduate that day at Samford University. I ended up in like a bathroom or locker room or something like that in tears, trying to clean up my daughter and then looking at myself going, how can I go the rest of the day like this? We literally had to like stop off at a store and like get me a different shirt to wear to go to the lunch. And I just remember being like, so defeated, and be like, I went through all of this effort to show up for my brother, and then my daughter's pooping outside of her diaper, ruining her clothes, my clothes, and throwing up all over. Like, what's the point? So I really hope today that you feel seen, number one. It takes so much effort every day to show up. And you guys did it. You're here. This is the hardest part, is showing up. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Like, how do we show up? And when it comes to calming the chaos and with our kids, how do we show up for ourselves? And how do we show up for our children? Because it matters. And if you don't hear anything else that I say today, because you have a tired mom brain, and that's all you can do, hear me say this. Showing up matters. And if you can't do anything else, repair. Repair, repair, repair. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but there's so much research and so many studies that show that you do not have to be a perfect parent or a perfect mom. That feels really good to me. We don't have to get it right every time. We don't have to get it right for ourselves every time. We don't have to get it right for our kids every time. But what matters is that we keep showing up, and when we get it wrong, we offer repair. So I'm going to just start with that. If you don't hear anything else, research, guys, science is on your side, that even if you get it all wrong, but you show up and you tell your kids, I'm so sorry, I was wrong, and I want to make it better. Like, you are teaching your kids that they don't have to have this standard of perfection, okay? That they're going to get it wrong. If we don't offer that repair to our kids, and I'm kind of going backwards right now, but this is so important. If we don't offer that, our kids grow up thinking that they have to get it right all the time. And that is a lot of pressure. And my guess is you guys have felt that pressure, whether it's through friend groups or social media or books that you've read. There is a lot of pressure, and we're constantly looking to all of these outside sources to help us figure out, like, how do we do this well? And so here's what I know is true about you guys. Because you're here, you want to show up well. You want to show up well for your kids, and that matters. You're being intentional. You're connecting with a community of people around you who can support you and walk through these seasons of life that are so exhausting. Is that right? Is it exhausting? Anybody? Amen? Exhausting? Okay. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, when my kids just sleep through the night, it's going to be so much better. And then they sleep through the night, and then there's something else. Then they, like, you know, become a toddler, and they destroy everything. And you're like, oh, when they can, like, not do this, it will be so much better. And then they, like, hit third grade, and you're like, what is this? What is going on? The third grade meltdown and all of that. There's so much going on. And so how do we find calm for ourselves, and how do we find calm for our kids? So we are going to do something before we jump into that. But just show of hands, because I'm very curious. Raise your hand if you drive like a white van or SUV. Okay, awesome. Raise your hand if you had a cup of coffee this morning. Oh, yeah. Okay. Raise your hand if you spilled the cup of coffee this morning. Yes. Okay. Anybody have, you know, some type of bodily fluid from a kid on your clothes or coffee? Okay, awesome. Let's see. What else? Raise your hand if you would not want somebody to look inside of your car right now, if we took a tour of everybody's vehicles. Great. Okay. And like I mentioned before, who almost didn't come this morning because their kid was having a meltdown or it was just so hard to get out the door? Yes, and yes, and yes. Who had sleep interrupted last night? Yeah. All right. Well, we're all in the same boat. Welcome to adulthood and motherhood. Nobody prepared me for that. You know, there was no book, there was no manual. Like, all of a sudden they like send you home with this baby in the hospital. I'm like, I'm not mature enough for this. Like, please take it back. I don't know if I have what it takes. And maybe it's just me, but I've never been a parent before. Like, this parenting journey, like, it's the first time. We don't get like a trial run and then we get to like do it over and do it again. So this is like trial by fire, okay? We're learning as we go. And our kids are too. They've never been a kid before. They don't know. And sometimes we look at the things that are going on for them and they're like, why are you acting like this, you know? And for us, like, We've been through that iteration of life where we've not gotten what we wanted over and over and over again. And we can't figure out why our kid is like having a meltdown. It's like, well, it's their first time, you know, being a kid. So, you know, there's a lot of grace. All right. So we'll hop in and we're actually going to do an emotional regulation activity if you guys are okay with that. So you are free to participate if you're comfortable. And if you're not, that's okay. There's no pressure. But what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're willing, is you're just going to close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I want you to think about naming an emotion or a feeling that you have felt this morning. Or maybe you're even feeling it right now. I'm going to give you just a minute. And with your eyes closed, I want you to think of a color that comes to mind for what you're feeling. There's no right or wrong way, just in case you're overanalyzing this right now. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Just whatever color comes to mind. And then I want you to think of the word calm or peace, whichever you like better. And I want you to think of a color that comes to mind when you think of the word calm or peace. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to take 3 deep breaths. And as we breathe in, we're going to breathe in the color of peace. And we're going to exhale out that color that maybe you associated with what you're feeling. It may be stress or overwhelm. That's what comes to mind when I think about this season for kids. And you are going to exhale that color. And so we're going to take our 3 deep breaths. We're going to inhale the color of peace or calm. And exhale the color of that emotion you named. And we're going to do it again. And one more time. And when you're ready, you can just float your eyes open. I want you to notice how your body feels right now. after taking three deep breaths, you may notice some different sensations. You may notice more calm in your body. You may be able to feel yourself in your seat a little bit better. And so what we just did was an activity that we can use as moms to calm ourselves. And it's also the same activity and activity we can do with our kids. My guess is, well, those of you who had maybe an uncomfortable emotion or what some might call a negative emotion, I'm guessing the color was maybe red or orange or maybe something else. Those come up a lot. Did anybody have like red or orange or, yeah, a few head nods? Okay, all right. And then our color for peace or calm. What colors came up for you guys? Anybody brave enough to share?
Blue.
Blue. Yeah, I wondered.
Green.
Green, yeah. White. I love that. When I think of green and blue and white, I think of nature and the sky being blue and the clouds being white and the trees being green. And so that exercise and that experience of exhaling what we don't want and we're breathing in what we do want allows our body to calm. Or another way to say that is grounding. If anybody's on social media, you may have seen these like grounding sheets. Has anybody seen those? Or they're selling sheets now. It's like, this will help you ground. It'll help with anxiety. I have yet to try them, so I can't speak to their effectiveness. But you may have heard that term, grounding. And so what that is when we get dysregulated, that's like a fancy word for like getting upset. We're actually, our bodies are designed to go into this certain part of our brain. It's called the limbic system. And what happens in our limbic system, we are experiencing fight, flight, and freeze. And some might even add in there fawn. We're not going to talk about that one today. And if you were one of my clients in an office, we might spend a lot more time talking about those and identifying, like, where do you go when those emotions trigger you? Do you go to fight, you go to flight, or do you go to freeze? Or maybe fawn. But emotional regulation, what is it? We literally have chemicals in our bodies that fire when emotions show up. It may be something you read on social media, a reaction from your kid, the mug shattering on the ground on my driveway. It produces a feeling inside of our body that helps us know what's going on. And so when that happens, our brains are wired to immediately go to our limbic system. And that is the place where we process what's happening. All of our sensory processing happens there. We're taking in information. And so one thing I think is really important for us to know as moms, for ourselves and our kids, emotions aren't bad. None of them are bad. It's just information. And when we can kind of reduce any type of feeling about our feelings or judgment about our feelings, that's a huge win, okay? Because I can tell you, I'm not very proud of myself when I react poorly to my kids. I don't know about you guys, but that happens. I don't feel great about that. And here we are in this environment where, like, man, we want to like point our kids to Jesus and we want to model, we want to be like Jesus, but here is the good news. You're not Jesus, okay? He is our model. He is the standard. We're going to follow him as best we can, but the good news is he made us to be human. We're not going to get it right every single time, but we're going to learn. And so you're not failing, we're learning. Okay? So super, super important that we are not judging ourselves or our kids when we have these times where we get caught up in our emotions and we go to our limbic system and we react. Our goal is to strengthen that muscle. Our emotional regulation is a muscle. And so I thought about like kind of a word picture, or how can I, you know, relate this with moms? And I just kept coming back to this because I know, or maybe you guys know Peyton Montgomery, and they own Go Performance, and they do strength and training. And so what kept coming to mind was fitness, all right? So if you think of emotional regulation, it's like teaching emotional fitness, okay? And if you've ever worked out, and you've ever, let's say you went to the gym for the first time, or like after you had a baby, and you go work out for the first time, what happens? How do you feel the next day? Super sore, okay? You worked a muscle, and what happened is all those little tiny muscles tore. They're called micro tears. And in order to get stronger, our bodies and our brains go through these micro tears, and then they build back stronger. So emotional regulation is a lot like emotional fitness, where we have to be able to name what's coming up for us. We have to recognize the emotion. We have to process the emotion in order for us to repair and to be able to come back down to a state of calm. So we've done our grounding exercise. Y'all have been able to breathe and be here and be present. Our kids are going to trigger us. I wish they didn't. But there's this really cool thing that God made called mirroring. And there are mirror neurons in their brains, in our brains. And the way they see themselves is through us when they're younger. Our kids 0 to 6, how many of you guys have kids 0 to 6? Most people, unless you're a co-leader or leader. Kids 0 to 6 have zero ability to regulate their own emotions. Zero. So when we tell them to calm down, they can't. God wired their brains to not be able to do that by themselves. I am guilty of saying, hey, calm down. We get to show them how to calm down. Because what we do matters. And that has not always been easy for me. In fact, I asked my oldest daughter permission to share with you guys about when this changed for me. She was probably 8 years old. I mentioned the 8 years old earlier, that third grade. It was tricky. She was probably 8, and she what felt like she was dysregulated all the time, and we could not figure out what was going on, and it was just like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And I remember the day that I paused long enough to look my daughter in the eyes and say, help me understand what's going on for you right now. Help me understand. My mom brain is in emergency mode in my own limbic system trying to fix the problem. But what my daughter needed was for me to sit with her and care long enough and pause long enough that I could look at her and say, what's going on with you? And not in a way like, what's going on with you? But like, help me understand. Help me understand what's going on. And so there's some really cool books out there if you guys are interested in neuroscience. And I could go on and on. And again, when our clients come in, we would talk about that and go more into depth. But a little bit of what's happening, the overview. We have a left and a right brain. We've got a logical part of our brain, and we've got the emotional part of our brain. And when we're triggered, we immediately go to the emotional part of our brain. Immediately. And we have to build that muscle, that connection, to get to the logical part. So when our kids go into an emotional state, they can't think logically. So calm down. They can't think logically. Us, when we are triggered and we go into emotional state, we can't use our thinking brain. So how do we build the ability? What is emotional regulation? It's building the strength. It's building the connection to be able to go from that downstairs emotional reactive part of our brain and going up the stairs to our logical, rational side. And the best way in this context, as a group of believers, that we can do that is to pause long enough to invite the Holy Spirit, invite breath, invite that pause in, so that we can find our calm, so that we can meet our kids in that state. If you're a kid, some kids are very, very logical. You might be very, very logical, okay? A lot of us, we have one side of our brain that's stronger than other, all right? So I'll just be honest. It's very, very easy for me to go to the right side of my brain and be in that emotional state. I feel like for a long time I lived in that fight, flight, or freeze. I didn't know it, but I lived there for a long time. But as a parent, you know, here I am like wanting to go to logical and I'm wanting to fix. But what is so cool is if you can imagine kids' development, like going down a river, if you've ever been like in a tube going down a river or a kayak or something like this, our brains and our development and our emotions is like going down a river. And we have this left and right brain banks of the river. Or if you're going down a water slide, you know how, you know, you go up when you bank around? Okay, development for kids and development for us is like we're going around these left and these right banks, and we're building the ability to find that calm in the middle. And I was thinking about that this morning, and it's like, okay, so put your goggles on and get in your inner tube, and it's like with your kids, and you're saying, woo, let's go for a ride. And every day, sometimes it feels like that. Like, what ride? What roller coaster? What river are we going down today? And we're not always prepared for that. I'm not always, the other day I was way caught off guard. One of my daughters, she's second grade, got in the car and it was meltdown city. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And she was just mad at me. You didn't pack the snack. And I'm like, well, it's not my job to pack the snack anymore. It was all coming towards me. And I stopped and I said, how was your day? Did you have a rough day at school today? You seem really upset. And then the tears came. And she was putting on this armor and like pushing all of her anger and her frustration and her sadness onto me. But it wasn't really about the snack. It wasn't about any of those things. When I paused and I leaned in to my daughter, she said, Mom, my friend told me she wasn't my friend anymore. Which we know is not true because they're in second grade and they had a fight on the playground, you know. But that was the emotion that was coming up for her. And in that moment, that was very real. That was very real for her. And I got to tell her, her name's Corinne, and I said, Corinne, I see your sadness. That's one of your favorite friends. And that's sad when we feel like our friend doesn't want to be our friend anymore. And so what I was doing, I'm helping her name what's going on for her. I didn't receive from her all the other stuff she was trying to put on me. I said, something's going on. Let's talk about that. And so there's going to be some discussion questions for you guys. So I want to make sure with just a few minutes that I have, I get through some of these practical things, because we all need practical, right? We want to be able to walk away. What are some practical ways as a mom that we can regulate so that we can show up in those moments so we don't miss it? If you have teenagers, the example I'll give you is my oldest daughter. She, the other day, was upset because she drove herself to church and we went home and we never saw each other. And she said, Mom, you didn't call me, or you didn't whatever. Like, I was like, well, I wasn't sure if you were going to make it. You were going to volunteer. And I started to get defensive and do that whole thing. Like, you're 16. You're driving yourself. You don't need me to do that. And she goes, you know, I really like seeing my family on Sunday mornings. And it really just made me feel like I was on my own. And I have to kind of do this on my own. And when I mentioned the repair piece, I got it wrong, guys. I missed her in that. She wanted to know that it was important that she showed up at church and she served, and she wanted connection. She wanted to see her family, and I missed that. And I tried to be like, oh, you're grown now. Don't you want independence? Like, I missed that. But what I learned in that is, oh man, we've repaired and we've talked about this enough that she felt safe enough to come to me and say that she was hurting and she felt disconnected. And to be a little cheesy, the song that popped in my mom when in my mind when she said that was a Taylor Swift song, or the quote that's like, you're all alone, kid. And I was like, oh no. My reaction made my kid feel alone. That's hard. And so I offered repair, and I walked over to her, and I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, thank you for telling me that. I know you felt that way before, and I don't want that for you. I'm going to do my very best next time to shoot you a text or call you and see your face when you show up at church. So those are just two small examples from a second grader or a young child who's, you know, super dysregulated, to even to a teenager, because I know some of you in here have teenagers, that our kids will become more resilient, and that's the goal. Not to be fragile. Think about the lifting weights thing. Resilience is building strength. We want to build emotional fitness. And when we do that, we're actually building relational strength. Because one day they're going to be parents. Maybe. One day they might be married, or they might be in a workplace, and they're going to be working with people. And they need those tools to be able to show up well at the workplace, to be able to show up well in their marriages, and be able to say, hey, I'm feeling really alone in this right now, and this is how I'd like for you to show up with me, and to be able to offer that repair. So, practical for moms, four things, keeping it simple. Notice what you're feeling and name your trigger. Two, offer compassion to yourself and embrace imperfection. Embrace it. Three, rewrite your script. That's the script is the narrative that you're telling yourself about how you showed up. It could look like, I overreacted. Therefore, I didn't do it right. Therefore, I'm a bad mom. It could be something like that. We're going to rewrite that script. And number four, practice repair. You are modeling humility and restoration. And those are like characters and attributes of God. How much more of a model of Jesus can we be when we do that? Four things for your kids. Help them name their feelings. We have all kind of tools and resources for that, and there's a sign it like a sheet on your table that if you want more information, that we can get you more information on that. Help them name their feelings. Model calm. Teach repair. And then we want to anchor them to their identity. And that is that they are safe, they are loved, and they can be at peace. And the same is true for us. We can go to that. We can be safe. We can be loved. We can be at peace. So, to close today, I brought, this is one of my favorite little, it's called Breath as Prayer. Calm your anxieties, focus your mind, and renew your soul. And I want to read this, and then I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we're going to send you to your small groups, okay? All right, it says, God is your shepherd. Breathe deep and know. The good shepherd is with you, and you have everything you need. One of the most beautiful and comforting pictures of how God loves and cares for us is when he is shown as a shepherd caring for his sheep. Jesus himself tells us, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. A flock of sheep is fully dependent on their shepherd. On their own, domestic sheep are prone to wander, exposed to danger, unable to right themselves if they fall, and they can even have trouble finding their own food and water. But under the care and guidance of a loving shepherd, sheep are led safely to bountiful green pastures, protected from dangerous predators, picked up and steadied when they fall, and guided back to the flock when they are spooked or start to wander away. Sheep can actually recognize their shepherd's face, and they know their shepherd's voice. They trust their shepherd and depend on him to provide everything they need. As your good shepherd, the Lord is lovingly guiding you and providing for you today, no matter your circumstance or the path that this life has you on. The Lord, your shepherd, is with you. You don't have to worry or be afraid. Simply stay with the shepherd. With him, you will always have all that you need. And Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And so we're going to take one deep inhale, and we're going to breathe in what's true. The Lord is my shepherd. And exhale, I have everything I need. So let me pray for you guys. Jesus, thank you for using the good shepherd as a model for us. Your word says that you gently lead those with young. And Lord, I ask that for all of these moms here and all the things going on, the anxious thoughts, the fears, the disappointments, God, that you would be present. We know you are present with them. Would they have the courage to stay present with themselves in with you so that they can be led by the good shepherd. And as they do that, Lord, that they would also be able to lead their sheep, their children who need a shepherd. Thank you, God, that you have given us everything that we need to do this sacred work of being a mom. I pray you would empower them, encourage them, equip them this morning in their small groups with tools they need, with the friendships they need, so that they will have the strength they need, God, to keep doing this awesome work of showing up for themselves and showing up for their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.